anybody can copy your price. These days, pricing is no longer a sustainable competitive advantage. Anybody can copy your price. Guess what? Anybody can copy your product. All they need to do is buy your product and reverse engineer it. Anybody can build your product and copy your product. Anybody can steal your staff. They can steal your employees. All they need to do is offer them a better salary and better working conditions, and then they can leave your company. But one thing nobody can steal from you is the culture of your organization. And customer service, delightful customer service, is part of a great culture where you treat your customers in such a way that they become loyal to the business, they become protective of your business, and they promote your business even when you have not asked them to. I'm hoping that is the kind of business you want to build, and that from the moment you listen to this episode, you start to take customer service much more seriously than you have always had.
Every big thing starts small. It's a natural law. Every big multinational corporation was once a small business. Welcome to the Small Starter Business Podcast, a unique podcast for practical tips and advice to help you start, grow, or turn around your business.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. I am your host, as usual, John Paul Iwoha. Today's episode gets me excited because we're going to be talking about something really important, something that's really vital and fundamental to any business. It doesn't matter what that kind of business is. It doesn't matter what you sell, who you sell to, where your business is at. This is a topic that cuts to the very heart of the success of any business. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about customer service. This episode will be devoted to discussing some very interesting aspects of customer service. In fact, the title of this episode is How to Make Customer Service Your Biggest Competitive Advantage. And I would dare call this a masterclass, going by the kinds of things that I hope to share with you today. Now, what is very concerning is that many businesses, especially in Africa, at least let me speak for my immediate environment, many businesses are failing at customer service. And this is just from my own observation. And that's because I'm a customer to many businesses, just as you are. Anybody who can hear the sound of my voice is very likely a customer to many kinds of businesses. You buy your groceries somewhere. You buy your food somewhere. You buy petrol for your car somewhere. You pay some organization, some school for your children's school fees. You pay for internet access. All of us are customers to different kinds of businesses, right? So we can really tell. And what my sense is that the quality of customer service is very poor, especially among the small and mid-sized businesses on the African continent, right? That is my observation. And it would be nice to know from you, to hear from you, if you are also getting the same vibe. And the sense I get is that customer service is treated as a luxury. Many of these small and mid-sized businesses, we tend to treat customer service as a luxury and not a necessity. It should be something that your customers should be thankful for when it's available. So customer service is like that rare, exotic item on the menu that when it is served, your customers should really be excited and glad that, you know, oh, I got served well today, you know, compared to when it's a necessity, when it is supposed to be a standard in any touch point, in any interface, in any experience that your customers have. If it's a necessity, then it should go without saying. It should be a standard part of how you serve your customers, right? And I don't just want to generalize. In the last, 2 to 4 weeks, I've come across some of these situations where customer service has been quite terrible. Sometimes it happened to me directly, and sometimes it just happened to somebody who was buying something from the same enterprise, right? A recent observation was I was at the hospital with my mom, and she had this appointment with the eye doctor. And the optometrist who had to look at her before she could see the ophthalmologist, I could just sense. Now, you know, it's this kind of veil thing where you can't really say that a person is not doing their job, but you could sense that there's no effort to be polite, to be courteous, to be warm, to be friendly, especially when the patient is a much older person. The person is a senior citizen, right? Even simple things like, please, could you? You know, what the sense I got was she was talking to my mom like, you know, my mom was a child or a subordinate or somebody, one of her subordinate employees. That was the sense I got, right? And I was holding myself not to say anything because at the end of that experience, I wanted to ask my mom, you know, I didn't want it to look like it was a one-sided thing. So I wanted to ask my mom, did you sense anything from the vibes you were getting from that lady? And my mom was like, you know, there's really nothing. And when I explained what I noticed, my mom was like, she didn't really notice it. So what is starting to happen is that even customers, many customers across that are customers to small and mid-sized businesses have even come to accept poor customer service as normal. And there is something very wrong with that on one side, but it also creates an immense opportunity for anybody who would make the additional step to pay attention to customer service. It's like, even though you're making very small steps from how bad it is for some businesses, it's like your customers will feel like their minds will be blown because they'll be like, nobody has ever treated me this way. So it's just from my own observation. This happened to my mom and I was just a bystander witnessing the whole thing. And the direct customer, which is my mom, said she didn't really notice anything. And for her, you know, she didn't want me to complain. She didn't want the person to lose her job and, you know, stuff like that. So I'm like, okay, this is quite interesting. Another experience I had was I was at the gas station, the petrol station, and there was some customer in front of me. I was the next in line. And the person in front of me was wasting a lot of time. Maybe the person was trying to brought out a couple of gallons and was trying to buy extra petrol, you know. Now, to be fair, it's the customer's turn, right? But you could sense that there was impatience growing, you know, within the queue. In fact, the person behind me had already left the line. The guy drove out and went somewhere else. And I expected the attendant, the person who was dispensing the fuel, to notice, you know, to catch the vibe that customers are getting impatient, customers are getting frustrated. And all it would have taken would have just been, you know, please calm down. Let me just attend to this guy. I'm going to attend to the rest of you. Please, I'm sorry that, you know, this is taking more time than necessary. It's maybe one or two sentences would have just worked the magic. But the guy just ignored us. And even when we were trying to voice our frustration, he was trying to talk us down like we were kids, right? And I'm like, you know, You work for an establishment that serves customers. You don't treat people this way. Sometimes it's just some little sentences. I was really pissed that day. And unlike my usual self who keep quiet, I actually had to talk to the guy. I said, this is not how to treat customers. And guess what? The guy was still insisting that he was right. That, you know, the rest of us could, as far as he cares, could, you know. And it was really frustrating. And I know I don't share this experience. I'm sure you also have your own experience with customer service that is wrong or terrible, or that is below what should be deserving to a customer, to somebody who brings out their hard-earned money to patronize an establishment, and they get treated like a kid, like a child, like a subordinate, right? You know, so these are just some of my own personal examples. And I would dare say that I speak for many people who listen to this podcast, because all of us are customers somewhere. So in this episode, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk a bit about how you shouldn't perceive your customers. Because if my thinking is correct, most people who listen to the Small Starter Business podcast have started a business or are about to start a business. And if you fall into either of these categories, what it means is that you want customers. You currently serve customers, or someday you want to serve customers. So there is no way you can run away from customer service. It doesn't matter if you sell products or services. It doesn't matter if you sell physical products or virtual products. You're going to deal with customers. Why? Because you need their money. Every business needs a customer's money. And because you need their money, you cannot run away from customer service. So I'm going to talk a bit about how you shouldn't perceive your customers. And then I'm going to talk about the two types of customer service. You need to pay very close attention to what I'm going to say in that segment, the two types of customer service. And then I'm going to talk about how to train your employees about customer service, because like I'm going to mention later, most of these terrible episodes with customer service usually happen with employees of the establishment. It's not usually the owner of the business that does these things. It's the people they employ. The people they employ to interface with customers, that's usually where things go wrong. And then later in this episode, I'm also going to talk about simple rules you can follow for good customer service. And what really breaks my heart is, this is not rocket science. It's not even the most complex or the most difficult part of building a successful business. It's like you know how they say, like the best things in life are free? That's exactly what customer service is. But it breaks my heart that many businesses still get this part wrong. And I'm hoping that by the time you're done with this episode, which I'm calling a masterclass, you will have a better appreciation of what customer service is, what it should be, and how easy it can be to make a very big difference in your business, especially when it comes to competitive advantage. And by competitive advantage, I mean that you're able to do something that most other businesses are not doing or cannot do. So this is very important stuff. This is very important stuff. So let me start with the first segment, which is how you shouldn't perceive your customers. Now, this may sound obvious, but then when I talk a bit about it, you start to understand why this is important. So the first thing is, your customers are not your competitor. A customer is not a competitor. Now, this may sound obvious on the surface, but when you look at how many businesses treat customers, essentially they treat them like they are competitors. And the reason I say this is, one common way you can experience terrible customer service is when you are arguing with a customer. You're arguing with a customer and you feel within you some sense or some push or some pressure that you have to win that argument, that you are right and the customer is wrong, that the customer cannot teach you your job, that you know this business better than the customer, you know the product better than the customer, you know the service better than the customer, you design the process so you know better than the customer. So when the customer picks up an argument with you, there is a sense within you that, you know, this person cannot win me in this argument. So what you are not seeing is that it's your ego at stake, right? Why should you be arguing with a customer? What is the intended outcome of an argument with a customer? That you would win and the customer would lose, and then tomorrow or next week, that same customer will come back after losing that argument. You see, so in that behavior, you're treating the customer like an adversary, as a competitor, as somebody that has to be won. So that's a very important point about argument, because you don't need to always act defensive as if your customers are out to attack you. When a customer asks a question or voices some frustration or is trying to give you feedback, all of a sudden you're defensive because you're like, I own this business. I know this business better than you. I've been working in this business for a long time. So there's really nothing you can tell me about this business that I don't know. So automatically, before you even finish saying that thing you want to say, dear customer, you are wrong and you cannot win this argument, right? So that whole defensiveness, as if your customers are out to get you, or they are setting traps for you, or they just want to see you fail or something like that. So on the surface, it looks and sounds obvious that your customers should not be your competitor. But when it comes to practice, the way some businesses treat their customers is as if their customers are their competitor, or like as if their customers are working for their competition. So being in competition with your customers can make you miss very important things. One of them is important feedback. Because one common source, the best source of feedback sometimes comes from complaints. When people are dissatisfied with something about your business, it could be your product or your service or how you are serving them. When people complain, when they criticize, when they sound frustrated, when they push back, these are opportunities for insight. Because yes, you may have built that business. Yes, you may own the business. Yes, you may have designed the product from A to Z. But you know what? You still have blind spots. There are things about your business that you just cannot see because you are inside the business. It will only take somebody from the outside to see some perspectives, to see some angles that naturally you cannot see because you are inside of the business. So, but the moment you start to act defensive, you start to, you know, see your customers as if they are competitors, you're going to miss those opportunities for important feedback that will lead to opportunities for you to improve and grow and better your business. So the first thing is, like I said, your customers are not your competitors. The second thing, which again on the surface sounds obvious, but then in practice is quite surprising how people behave, is that your customer is not a beggar, right? And it's obvious because most people who come into your business are not coming to beg you. They come to pay you money, and in return, you give them a product or a service. So on the surface, I know it's common sense that your customer is not a beggar. But the way some businesses treat customers, in practice, actually, it looks as if the customers are beggars. And, you know, the thing is, the customer, your customers are actually a provider to your business, if anything, right? Most cash inflows into a business come from customers. You know, if you've listened to previous episodes, I would say that your customer is the best investor you will ever have. Because any other investor, whether it's a bank, a venture capital investor, a business partner, or anybody who invests in your business, those people will want their money back. It's only a customer who never asks for their money back as long as you satisfy them. That's the best kind of person you can take money from. But any other person you take money from wants their money back. So this is a provider to your business. But then when you see how some businesses treat their customers, it's as if they are beggars, as if the customer should be happy to be a beneficiary of your kindness and benevolence. Like your customers should be grateful that you're actually serving them. You know, they should be thankful that your business exists in this world. You know, so that's the nature of the behavior sometimes. And, you know, what is quite interesting is that if we really have to look at it, your customer is your equal. Your customer is an equal partner in a value exchange. It's a value exchange. That's what customers do. They give you money, and in exchange, you give them a product or a service, right? So a customer has the right to speak up because they're an equal partner. It's give and take. So they have the right to speak up and shake you up if you rob them of the value they deserve. So remember what I just said. Every customer who comes into your business is coming for a value exchange. They give you money. Of course, money is valuable. No matter the price you put for your product or service, anybody who is willing to pay you that price is giving you value. And in exchange, they expect value. And the value they expect is that your product or service will do what you have promised, right? So if your product or service does not do what you have promised or does not meet the expectations of the customer has a right to shake you up. They have a right to speak up because it's a value exchange. Nobody's begging the other person. It's an equal partnership. I give you money, you give me something I want. And the moment you give me something I don't like or I don't want, I can't keep quiet. I have to talk. So imagine you feeling angry or having an outburst or treating me like a beggar because I'm complaining about value you gave me that is not what I was expecting. You see how wrong that can be sometimes. So your customers are not beggars. They are not in your business to beg you. The third thing, which again is obvious on the surface, is that a customer is not less powerful than you are or beneath you. And this is coming from a common observation, which is, whenever you experience a bad customer service situation, usually it comes from a position where the person working for the business or the person who is supposed to provide that service is talking with an assumed superiority. They assume they are superior to the customer, that the customer is ignorant, does not really know what they want, does not really understand what they are buying or something like that. So it's like they're talking down on the customer, like you are beneath me. But it's not true. Like I just said, your customer is your equal. It's a value exchange. Anybody who is not prepared to pay you the price you have set for your product or service will not even come into your business, will not even do business with you. Okay, they may come into your business, but they won't do business with you because you will not accept. You will only accept the price that you have set. But the moment somebody accepts the price that you have set, and in exchange, you're supposed to give them a product or service, it's an equal partnership, right? So your customers don't report to you. You cannot talk down on them. Your customers are actually powerful, especially in this day and age of social media, of global interconnectivity. One single post by a disgruntled customer can cause you a significant crisis, both on a reputational level, on a sales level. A single customer can damage your business. And there are several different examples to prove that. Just one post, one angry tweet, or one post on Facebook, on Instagram, or something that goes viral on WhatsApp, and all of a sudden, you are in trouble because you dropped the ball. So customers are that powerful. They are that powerful. So you don't talk down on somebody who can damage you, on somebody who can hurt you. If anything, you do your best to keep them happy, keep them satisfied, so that they don't do something that can hurt you, right? So I've just covered how you shouldn't talk, or how you shouldn't perceive your customers. Your customers are not your competitors. Your customers are not beggars. And your customers are not beneath you. They're actually your equals, right? So that being said, let me now talk about the two types of customer service, like I mentioned earlier, right? Because in my book, there are essentially two types. And you're going to understand why I've said this. The first type of customer service is the most basic form of customer service. It is the standard that most people expect, most customers expect. Anybody who walks into a business, at the minimum, expects basic customer service, which is that you satisfy the customer. The basic requirement of customer service is that you satisfy the customer. So you have to give the customer what they paid for. Make it clear what the customer is paying for. And the reason why this is important is that if you give your customer what they paid for, it's unlikely they are going to complain. It's unlikely you're going to have any issues. It's very likely that the customer will be satisfied. If somebody gets what they paid for, it's very likely they are going to be satisfied. Another thing is that you deliver what you promised, right? If you deliver what you promised on your product or your service, it's very unlikely anybody's going to want to cause trouble. In fact, what you're likely going to have is a satisfied customer, somebody who got what they paid for, somebody who got what you promised. You will not likely have any problems with such people, right? And then the third element is to treat the customer with respect. So essentially what I'm saying is, if you give the customer what they paid for, if you deliver what you promised, and you treat the customer with respect, these three things, what you're going to achieve is customer satisfaction. Automatically, you don't even need to think about it. Automatically, you're going to achieve customer satisfaction if you give the customer what they paid for, you deliver what you promised, and you treat the customer with respect, right? So I'm not going to spoon feed you on certain aspects here. And that's the reason why I'm saying this is, although I'm going to talk a bit more about it, the reason I'm saying this is, I'm sure as a human being, as an adult, if you're listening to this, it's very likely you are above 16 years old. And the reason I'm saying this is, at that age, you know what respect is. Respect is something that human beings can sense. You know, you may be able to sense if I respect you or not. Without even me saying a word, you can sense if I respect you or not from the way I look at you, or from the way I talk to other people about you, or from the way I treat you. You can instantly know if I respect you. And I don't want to discuss respect, because like I said, if you're above 16 years, you should know what respect is, because it is something that is non-verbal sometimes. It is something that is unconscious. When you come across somebody who doesn't respect you, you will know, right? So all I'm saying is, if you give the customer what they paid for, if you deliver what you promised, and you treat the customer with respect, you are going to achieve basic customer service, which is what? Satisfaction. That you satisfy the customer. That is basic customer service. So, like I said, these three things I mentioned, giving the customer what they paid for, delivering what you promised, and treating the customer with respect, if you don't do any one of them, you are going to end up with customer issues, like complaints. People are going to complain if you don't give them what they paid for. People will complain if you don't deliver what you promised. And guess what? People will complain if you don't treat them with respect. In fact, many customer issues come from customers feeling that they were not respected. Funny enough, right? So it's an interpersonal thing, right? So another thing is returns. Customers will return a product out of anger If you don't give them what they paid for, if you don't deliver what you promised, and you don't treat them with respect. And another worst thing is that customers can badmouth you. They can go on social media and leave a bad review. They can say terrible things to people they know around them and say, don't go to that business. They didn't give me what I paid for. Don't buy anything from that business. They don't deliver what they promise. Don't go to that business. Don't go to that shop. They don't treat people with respect. That's exactly what's going to happen. But guess what? This is, like I said before, basic customer service. Basic customer service is that you have to satisfy the customer. But what is shocking is that many businesses are not even offering basic customer service. You know, even this that is basic, many businesses don't offer it. And that creates an opportunity for you because the bar is so low in many parts of Africa, with especially in the area of small and medium-sized businesses. The bar is so low that if you can set a standard of achieving basic customer service, which is to satisfy your customer, which is the minimum requirement, people are going to feel like you are the best thing since sliced bread. People are going to be like, wow, where have you been all my life? Why? Because most other people are not even achieving the basic customer service. Many customers are not satisfied. It's either they are not feeling respected, or some of these businesses are not delivering what they promised, or their customers are not getting what they paid for. Right? So I can't say more about this basic customer service. The second type of customer service, which is an interesting one I want to talk to you about, is the kind of customer service that differentiates your business. And the goal of this second type of customer service is not to satisfy the customer. No, satisfaction is for basic level customer service. The goal of differentiated customer service is to delight the customer. I want you to mark that word, delight the customer, because delight goes above satisfaction. And I'm going to go into some detail about this, because like I said, satisfaction is what most customers expect. And the thing is, the average person doesn't expect so much. They just want you to give them what they paid for. They just want you to deliver on what you promised. And all they want is respect, because they're human beings, right? And they are coming to give you value, and they expect value in return. They're not asking for too much, right? So satisfaction is what most customers expect. And guess what? Like I said, that's supposed to be what most of your competitors should be doing. But like I said, from my observation, in climbs in emerging markets with a focus on Africa, I noticed that even the basic form of customer service is lacking. So even the average customer is not expecting you to delight them. All they want is to be satisfied, right? And the thing is, satisfying customers is okay. It means you're doing your job, because it's the basic requirement. If you satisfy customers, that's okay. It means you're doing your job. But it doesn't make you stand out or exceptional. If you want customer service to be the cornerstone of your competitive advantage, if you want customer service to be the way that you stand out from your competitors, if you want customer service to make you remarkable, such that anybody who does business with you, any customer who gets served by your business would not forget you, would easily remember you, and better still, they will talk about you positively, right? Just on their own, because of how you have treated them. If that is what you want customer service to do for your business, then you have to go beyond basic customer satisfaction, because nobody talks about satisfaction. Why? That's what people expect. If you do what I expect, there's nothing exciting about that. I wouldn't go on social media and tweet about you giving me what I expect. If you give me what I expect, life goes on. I move on to the next thing, right? I'm not going to tell my friends that you give me what I expect. It's not remarkable. It's not interesting. If you want me to talk to my friends, if you want me to tweet about your business on social media, if you want me to let people know, you know, about this amazing experience I just got, you have to go beyond satisfaction. You have to delight the customer, right? Because delighting customers is the only kind of customer service that differentiates your business and gives you a strong competitive advantage. And like I said, delighted customers are more likely to be loyal. Those are the kinds of customers that come back, because you're giving them something they don't easily get elsewhere. Those are the kinds of customers who are protective. They are not just loyal to your business. They don't just keep coming back to buy, but they are protective. The moment they hear something bad about your business, they are the kinds of customers that would stand up and speak up on your behalf, even when you don't even know what is going on. They are defending you in their homes. They are defending you among their friends. They are defending you in the comment section of a blog that just posted something about your business. They are defending you on social media. They are arguing and fighting for you, but you don't know any of this. And that's because you delighted these customers. So this is the kind of customer that will be loyal. They'll be protective. And the best form is they are the promoting kind of customers. They are not the kind of customers who keep quiet, at least most of them. When you delight people, what it means is that you've created something remarkable that they can talk about. It's something noteworthy. It's something they can talk to their friends and say, you won't believe what just happened to me. Or there's this business I want to talk to you about. Or there's this place you have to go and try. These guys are really something else, right? When you delight customers, then you become remarkable. Then there's something to talk about. When you delight customers, then you become exceptional, right? So, but what does delighting a customer mean? What does it actually mean to delight a customer? Because like I mentioned, I want to give you a masterclass in this. I don't just want it to be surface level stuff. How do you know you've delighted a customer, right? The first step is you have to go beyond the basic satisfaction that customers expect. What customers expect is that you will give them what they paid for. You will deliver what you promised and you will treat them with respect. This is what customers expect. If you go beyond these three things in any way, all of a sudden you have their attention in a way that was not previously possible with just basic customer service. So the first step is you have to go beyond basic customer service. The second is that you have to make the customer feel wanted and appreciated. Now, I need to make a distinction here. There is a difference between treating somebody with respect and making somebody feel wanted and appreciated. Now, when somebody feels wanted and appreciated, the feeling is different. And there are a range of ways you can do this, ranging from how warm you are towards the customer, how friendly you are towards the customer, all the way up to loyalty programs. Like you're designing loyalty programs to encourage your customers to do more business with your company, to become ambassadors for your business, right? And if you still don't understand what delighting a customer means, maybe this will help you. You have to show that you want to build a relationship that lasts beyond this transaction. So the way many businesses treat customers is, they just want to take the money right now and move on to the next customer. That's the truth. Many small and mid-sized businesses that I notice, just from broad observation, they just want to take your money and move on to the next person. So for them, it's all about transactions. Just give me your money, take the product, let me move on to the next person. If you don't come back tomorrow, no problem. I'll just keep working to get more customers. And guess what happens in those kind of businesses? You have a lot of churn. And by churn, what I mean is, people just buy the first time, but they don't come back to buy. That's a problem. If what you sell is what people would have to come and buy again, and somebody buys from you the first time and they are not buying from you again, then there's a problem, right? So the issue there is that the focus on the transaction is what is killing customer service with most businesses. They're just focused on the transaction. They're not looking at building a relationship that lasts beyond a single transaction. And you know, one thing I said, you know, I'm going to do in this episode was that I'm not going to give you specific steps on how you can become a better human being. And the reason is, what I'm talking to you now about delighting customers is something you already do in your own life. Just think about it. Delighting a person is a human trait. We do it all the time. As a human, you already have the skills to make people like you. And that's exactly what I mean by delighting your customers. How can you make your customers like you? Now, I'm not talking about your product. I'm not just talking about your product or your service. Because that is why the customers came. The customers came for your product or your service. But now I'm talking about you. I'm not even talking about the brand yet. Because most times you just say branding. But a brand is a lifeless thing. What people fall in love with is the idea behind the brand and the people behind the brand. So now I'm talking about the people. And by people, like, I'm talking about you or the people you've employed to deal with your customers. This could be anybody from the sales team to your customer service reps, anybody that is front-facing, anybody that is customer-facing in your business is representing you. And guess what? All those people are human beings. So what I'm saying here is, how do you get people to like you? The thing is, we already do it. We do it with members of our family, right? You want somebody to like you. You want your sibling to like you. All these people who have relationships, we know how to do this. We know how to do it with our friends. You want somebody to be your friend? We know how to. We started doing it from when we were 5, 6, 7 years old in early school, in primary school, when we started making friends. Then you know how to make somebody like you. It starts from a smile, from being warm, from being friendly, from appreciating the person, being kind. These are all human traits. And that's not what I'm going to teach you in a business lesson. Why? Because you already have the skills. I'm just talking about human interpersonal skills. What I'm saying is, for you to delight your customers, you have to make them like you. And it's up to you. And there are thousands and millions of ways you can come up with things that will make customers like you. Right? There are a lot of things. And that's because, you know, I need you to use your creativity. So let me just give you one example. Do you know how much a smile or being warm or being friendly or being helpful or being kind can just change the situation for your customers? So you go into some businesses and the person who is at the front desk is just grumbling with a long face. And there's no good morning. There's no please. There's no, I apologize for the delay. There's no, how are you feeling today? You know, there's no smile on the face. It's just, you're looking at a dead person. That's how they present themselves. And that is supposed to represent the business, right? You don't do that to a friend. You don't do that to your sibling. You don't do that to your lover, to your spouse, to your boyfriend, to your girlfriend, right? I'm not, of course, these are romantic relationships, but all I'm saying is, as a human being, you know how to make somebody like you. If you really want somebody to like you, every human being knows what to do. And all I'm saying is, you apply that creativity in your business. So the thing is, customer service is not about money. I'm not saying you should hand out gifts and all that will cost the business money, and then at the end of the day would be detrimental or hurtful to the business. That's what I'm saying. Most good customer service is not about money. It's about culture. And that's what I want you to pay attention to. Good customer service is about culture. It's just how you treat people. That's all it is. A bad person is a bad person by their nature, by their culture. That's how they want to be. A good person, a jovial person, a kind person is just that, by their culture. So if you don't make it a culture to delight customers, right, to make customers like you as a business, then it's intentional. Or sometimes you might say it's not intentional that, you know, it's your employees that are doing it. I'm still going to come to that point. But bottom line is, it's not about money. If you really think of how some businesses that are really good at customer service are, you will notice that many of those things are not about money. One is responsiveness. You send them, you talk to them on the phone, or you call them, or you send them an email, and then, you know, how quickly they come back to you. Responsiveness is one example of how to delight a customer. Because what you're saying is, I'm not ignoring you. I'm talking to you. I'm showing you that you matter, right? So how much money does being responsive cost? You know, being responsive to a customer rather than delaying them or making them feel like their needs are subordinate or something like that. Responsiveness doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost anything. How much does courtesy cost? Like, you know, I'm sorry. You know, for some businesses, saying I'm sorry is so damn hard. It's like if they say I'm sorry, they will be liable to criminal charges. That's how it feels. So it's like they make a conscious effort not to say I'm sorry. But I'm sorry is such a magic word. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't cost anything. What does it cost to say, okay, you're not happy with this product, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry, it's our fault. It's not going to happen again. How can we make it up to you? I'm still going to come to that point, but this is just one example. Just admit. So when you sound this way, you sound like you're interested in a relationship, not just this transaction. You're not interested in one transaction. You're interested in a relationship. So that's exactly what I mean by these things are about culture. They're not about money. Because the goal is you do things that are low cost, but high impact. You respond quickly to your customers. That's low cost, but the impact is high. You are personable. You are friendly. You are warm to customers. It doesn't cost anything. You're still going to pay the person's salary, the employee's salary anyway. So they may as well just smile on the job. They may as well just be warm and friendly on the job. You're ready. So it doesn't cost any additional thing. What does it cost to be kind? What does it cost to be considerate? What does it cost to be empathetic to a customer, to put yourself in the customer's shoes? All these things either don't cost anything or are very low cost, but the impact is huge. So as you get creative about how to delight your customers, what I want you to focus on are those things that are low cost, but have a high impact. That way you don't run unnecessary costs that are not helpful to your business, but you end up magnifying the significance of your customer service such that you can actually make it a competitive advantage for your business, where your customers can be loyal, they'll be protective, and they'll be promoting of your business. So that's it for the two kinds of customer service. I mentioned the first type of customer service is the basic customer service, where the goal is to satisfy your customer. Guess what? That's what every customer expects, to be satisfied, that you give them what they paid for, that you deliver what you promise, and that you treat them with respect. They are not asking for much, but that is basic customer service. The thing about basic customer service, like I said, is that you'll be doing your job, but it's not remarkable. There's nothing that makes you exceptional when you just satisfy the customer. But when you go the extra step to delight your customer, then you become exceptional. Then you become remarkable. Then there's something to be excited about, to talk to their friends about, and to promote your business and be loyal to your business. So at this point, I want to talk about your staff and customer service. And the reason why this is important is that most customer service issues involve employees, not business owners. Now, I can imagine a business owner will have a better appreciation of customer service than an employee who doesn't understand why they should smile to a total stranger. So the employee is like, why should I be nice to a total stranger? Why should I care what the customer feels about? After all, you know, I'm an employee here. I get paid my salary. I really don't care about these customers. But the owner of the business knows the value of customers, because it's the customers that are funding your business. So that's why many incidents of bad customer service is usually with the employees of a business, employees of a company. It could be the people in sales. It could be the person at the front desk. It could be the people manning the telephones. Sometimes it's with the security guard. It's with the security guard at the gate, right? So all these people who have contact with your customers, anybody who has contact with your customers, including the cleaners, because sometimes you're going somewhere and then the cleaner is cleaning something, and then you step on the place the cleaner has cleaned, and you can just imagine, you can just see them look up at you with such disgust, right? So you might think that the cleaner is just a cleaner, but your customers have contact with your cleaners. So even your cleaner too is affected by what I'm about to say, which is that any of your staff that would have contact with your customers, you need to pay attention to this, because most of the customer service issues you have will likely be with them. And when you really think about it, why would employees always be the culprits when it comes to bad customer service? One common reason is poor training, right? You really cannot blame the employees if they've not been trained for customer service. If they've not been trained to understand the value of customer service, you really cannot blame them. That means you're the person who hasn't done your job. You're supposed to train them, you know, for this. So poor training is one reason why this happens. Another reason is that some of these people just have the wrong personality or the wrong attitude for your business, right? Especially if you're in a service business, whether it's a dry cleaning business, a consulting business, a hairdressing business, a transportation business, if you are in the business of providing services, there's a kind of personality of employee that you need. You don't want gloomy people. You don't want pessimistic people. You don't want people who are always reclusive, people who are unwilling to be warm and be friendly. So it starts from the recruitment, the kinds of people you hire. You have to hire the kinds of personality that you need, the kinds of people who would give you the kind of customer service, delightful customer service that you're looking for, right? And, you know, and this one is a direct feedback to you. What I've found is that some of these employees that treat customers badly, some of these employees that treat customers poorly, they are treating those customers that way because of the way you treat them. Yes. That's what I've seen. You treat your employees poorly, they take it out on your customers. You talk to your employees terribly. You disrespect your employees. You don't value your employees. Guess what? They take it out on your customers. That's what I found. So sometimes when I find myself in an establishment where I notice that the poor service is not just with one person, but it's like it's a cultural thing. It gives me a sense of the kind of leader that is in that organization. Right? Maybe it's a leader that treats their employees as if they are beggars. It's a leader that doesn't trust the employees, treats them as if they are competitors, right? All those things that you do to the employees, they just reflect it like a mirror on your customers. So I've just given you a couple of pointers as to why this bad customer service can be. It can be as a result of poor training. It could be that you hired people with the wrong attitude, wrong personality for the kind of business you're doing. And like I said, directly to you, is that it could just be that they are reflecting what you do to them. They are reflecting that on the customers. So like my people say, you should use your tongue to count your teeth, right? So use your tongue to count your teeth to find out if it's what you're doing that is causing your people, your employees, to treat your customers badly. So when it comes to delighting customers, right, don't just tell your employees what to do or how to do it. Now, I'm talking about the training part. If you've discovered that you want to improve the customer service in your organization, or that right now your customer service is poor or does not even exist, and you're trying to build it up, these are just some pointers. Don't just tell your employees what to do or how to do it when it comes to customer service. Also teach them why it's important. Don't just say, when a customer comes in, smile and say, good morning. What you're going to be creating are robots. And guess what? Most of the kind of robots you're going to create through that kind of training process, where you focus only on the what and the how, those kinds of robots don't have initiative. They cannot be flexible. They cannot adapt on their feet. And the moment they are faced with situations that are not in the manual or are not in the things that you taught them, they are going to malfunction. So don't just tell them what to do or how to do it. Tell them why it's important. Tell them why it's important to smile. Tell them why it's important to say, I'm sorry. Tell them why it's important to say, please. Like, you know, please sit down. Tell them that it doesn't demean them or make them subordinate to the customer when they say, please, or when they say, I'm sorry, or when they are warm and friendly. Tell them that it's okay, that it doesn't make them vulnerable. It doesn't make them foolish. It doesn't make them clownish when they are warm and friendly to customers. Make them understand that the customer is the person who pays their salaries. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth that you're not the one who pays their salaries. Tell them the truth that it's the customers who pay their salaries. Make them understand why customers are important. Make them understand that it's because of the customers that the lights are on. Make them understand that it's because of the customers that they have a job. Make them understand that they need to be grateful for the existence of a customer. Make them understand the value of every new customer that shows up in that business. Make them understand why customers are crucial to the growth of your business. Make them understand why customer service. Make them understand why delighting your customers is important and how it will help you guys win the competition. How it will differentiate you guys from other businesses that are selling identical products or services or things that are similar to yours. Make them understand that customer service can be a major competitive advantage for your business. If your people understand why customer service is important and not just what to do or how to do it, you are going to notice a tremendous change in your organization. Why? Because remember what I said, customer service is just about being human. These are what humans do to other people. We already do these things with members of our family. We do it with our spouse, our girlfriend, our boyfriend. We do it with our friends. We do it with our neighbors. We know how to make people like us. It's an innately human skill. We know how to make people like us. So don't tell people what to do or how to do it when it comes to making people like them. Tell them the why, and then they will go ahead with their creativity and do things that are going to astound you. So that's exactly why you need to be very careful with your employees, because they need to understand, like I said, that the customers are the ones who are responsible for their salaries and their jobs. And they also need to know why unsatisfied customers are dangerous to the business. Because here's what I noticed. Some employees who work in a business think that if one customer walks away, it's okay because another customer will come in. You need to let them understand why that is dangerous. Because that's one customer that's walking away. Even if one customer walks away and five new customers come in, that one that's walking away can go online or say something or do something that will tear down the business. Let your employees understand these things. And if they understand the why, I think their performance is going to improve. Because all you're doing is you're letting them use their initiative. You're letting them be human. And you're allowing them to work with other human beings, which is essentially what this thing is supposed to be about. So to round up this episode, I want to talk about one last thing, which is simple rules for customer service, right? So you want to get customer service right. You're trying to train your employees. You're trying to give them a sense of what to do and how to manage things, right? This is where I talk a bit about the what and the how. And, you know that thing they always say about your customers are always right. You know, I think it's too simplistic to say that. Because when you say your customers are always right, you're going to find yourself in a strange situation where, for example, you are condoning bad behavior by a customer in your business, right? There's no such thing as your customers are always right. Of course, you know it's impossible because your customers are human beings too. So it's impossible that your customers are always right. So all I'm going to say now is that in those situations where your customers are wrong, what can you do, right? And in those situations where maybe your customer is right and you're the one who's wrong, what can you do? So let's look at a situation where a customer is feeling unsatisfied and they are right to feel unsatisfied. Maybe they didn't get what they paid for. Maybe you didn't deliver exactly what you promised. Or maybe the customers felt they are being disrespected. Either their inquiries are not being responded to on time, their complaints are being ignored and stuff like that. So for whatever reason, you have an unsatisfied customer. How do you handle such a person? So just three very simple steps. And in fact, it's a triple A. So that's the acronym, triple A, AAA. The first A is to apologize. Apologize for the wrong. I mean it, you know, which is why it's weird to teach customer service through this medium, which is you're only hearing my voice, but you're not seeing my face, right? And that's because in dealing with human beings, the non-verbals are very important. I can apologize to you in two very different ways, and it will have very different meanings, even though I'm saying the same thing. I can apologize to you in one way, and you're going to see that I really mean it. You're going to see that I am candid and I really regret the action. I can also apologize to you in another way, and you're going to feel disrespected because you can clearly see that even though I'm saying I apologize, you can clearly see that I'm disrespecting you because I don't mean it, right? So that's why it's important. Apologize for the wrong, but mean it. And this is why I said it's important to teach your employees why this customer service thing is important. Because if you only teach them what and how, if you only tell them when a customer complains, apologize, right? What you end up creating, like I said, are robots. Robots who apologize with a straight face. And it's obvious they don't mean what they're saying. And your customers are going to pick up on that. And the customer is going to say, you guys are terrible. But then you're going to, the employee will be confused and say, but I apologized. But the thing is, you apologized, but you didn't mean it. And it's very clear from your non-verbals, right? So apologize and mean it. Like I said before, I'm sorry. Just that sentence, I'm sorry, is a magic sentence that diffuses anger and tension. Because if you think about it, the main reason why many businesses fail with customer service, especially those ones that end up arguing with their customers, most people argue with their customers because they don't want to say, I'm sorry. It's either they don't see the value in saying I'm sorry, or they just don't want to say it. But I'm sorry is an interesting sentence that can diffuse any anger or tension that you have in a situation. And when you apologize, it shows empathy and respect. It's very simple. When you apologize and mean it, it shows you have empathy and respect. So that's the first A in my AAA concept, right? Apologize for the wrong and mean it. The second A is to accept the fault or responsibility. And this is a common reason why some people will argue with their customers because they don't want to accept the fault or responsibility. Why? Because they feel that when they accept the fault or responsibility, it makes them smaller. It reduces their value in the eyes of the customer, or it belittles them. And that is, in many cases, it's usually the opposite that will happen. Because when you accept the fault and and responsibility for what has gone wrong, it proves that your apology is genuine. How can you say, I apologize? How can you say, I'm sorry? And without accepting the fault. So what are you sorry for? What are you apologizing for? So you see, the two of them have to follow. If you apologize, you have to accept the fault and the responsibility. It shows that you're not afraid of criticism. It shows that you're open to honest feedback. That's what accepting the fault and responsibility does, right? So that's it, the second A. Accept the fault. The third A is to appease. And to appease means to make up for the wrongdoing, for the thing that has gone wrong, right? So when you appease somebody, it shows you want to build a relationship or that you value the existing relationship, right? So something has gone wrong. You've apologized. You've accepted the fault. Going ahead to make up for that fault. If you just leave it at accepting the fault, it doesn't really delight the customer. Where the delighting comes is when you try to make up for what has gone wrong. It shows that you value this customer. It shows that you value the relationship. And it gives you the opportunity to delight your customer when you want to make up for it, when you want to appease it. So now I've just talked to you about the theory, right? A customer is unsatisfied, or you have a customer situation where the customer is angry or frustrated or complaining. Very simple. AAA, apologize and mean it. The second step is to accept the fault or responsibility. The third step is to make up or appease. So let me give you the practical side, right? So a customer is pissed off. A lady is pissed off, and she's really angry. She bought a product and then the thing is not working like she expected. So this lady is angry. She's tense and all that. And how do you diffuse the situation? You say, "Madam, I apologize for the inconvenience this has caused you." Of course, it's clear. You see what I've done there? I've apologized. I apologize for the inconvenience this has caused you. The second sentence is, "It was an error on our part and it should not have happened." What have I done there? It was an error on our part and it should not have happened. I've accepted responsibility. That's what it means. And then I go into the third sentence. "Would you like to exchange a product for another one, or would you prefer a refund?" So here I'm saying, yes, I apologize for what happened. I accepted responsibility. I said it's our fault. It should not have happened. And then now I'm saying, I'm giving you two options. Do you want me to replace the product, the one that's not working for you, or would you like us to refund you? So you are giving the customer an option there. So at the end of the day, you have diffused the situation and you created a way out. So by doing this, by allowing the customer to exchange the product or by refunding the customer, you've exploited an opportunity to delight that customer. Because most people would likely want to, you know what they say, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. I've just diffused a situation. And the moment the customer sees that I'm sincere in the apology and in trying to make up, the customer may just say, that's okay, that's fine. Let me just get another product. or something like that, right? So this is one example, and it's very simple. You can teach all your customer facing staff or your front facing staff this kind of technique that I just taught you. Apologize, accept responsibility, appease. AAA is simple for anybody to remember, right? But what are those situations when the customer is wrong? What do you do in those situations where the customer clearly is wrong? And let me make it clear what being wrong is, because, you know, this whole thing that has been overbeaten, the customer is always right. The customer is always right. Like I told you, it's impossible. Your customers are human beings, and no human being is always right. Right. So there are going to be situations where your customers are wrong, and clearly they are wrong. You are not going to massage the ego of somebody who is wrong, right? And you are not going to stop standing your ground, especially when it comes to matters of principle, of values, or even the law of legality, right? So here are a couple of situations where a customer could be wrong. One of them could be that a customer is being unreasonable. So a customer is asking for something you did not promise or something you cannot deliver. That is clearly unreasonable. You're asking me for something I cannot do, something I cannot deliver, or something I did not promise. That's an unreasonable customer. And that is a wrong customer. Because how do you reason with somebody who is unreasonable? Once reason is off the table, then there's really very little you can do. So that's one way a customer can be wrong. The second way is when a customer is insultive or violent, especially the violent ones. You cannot condone violence in that environment. Why? Violence could lead to your goods getting damaged. Violence could lead to the damage of property within your place of business. Violence could lead to injury for a human being or loss of life. You don't want any of that. So such a person clearly cannot be right when they are being very insultive to your employees, they are being insultive to you, or they are being insultive to your staff. Such a person, that customer is not right. You cannot say the customer is always right. That kind of customer clearly is not right. The third situation where a customer is clearly wrong is when the customer is asking for something or doing something that is illegal. Because when it's illegal, you could be vulnerable. You could be liable for what that customer is doing. So if the customer is trying to do something that is illegal, or is trying to make you or your employees break the law, then there's a problem. Or when it goes against company policy, the customer is trying to do something that goes against company policy, then there's trouble, right? So you need to be careful with those situations. So I've just given you instances where clearly a customer is wrong. And that whole thing they say about a customer always being right is very clearly BS. Because customers are human beings, and I don't know any human being who is always right, right? So the thing is, in all these situations I've just mentioned where a customer could be wrong, how do you respond? A customer is being unreasonable, a customer is being insultive, being violent, or a customer is breaking the law or asking the business to break the law or do something that is against company policy, how do you respond to that kind of customer? So one option is to de-escalate, which is usually the first line of response. You de-escalate the situation. A couple of ways you can do that. You can explain the situation as politely as you can. Sir, we cannot do this because it is against the law. Madam, we cannot do this because it's against company policy. Madam, you cannot insult us within this environment. That is unacceptable. You can try to explain as calmly as you can. That is one way. The other thing you can do is you can change your tone. If it's been a situation where maybe you've triggered the person, you can change your tone. You can change the subject. Maybe it's the subject that you're discussing that is causing the issue. You can change the subject and then come back to the one that is causing the tension after you've addressed all the other issues. So you can change your tone. You can change your subject. You can change the person. So you can ask, if the person is having an issue with one of your staff, one of your employees, you can ask, the supervisor can step in, or another employee can step in who is not the initial person the customer was having something with. The manager can step in. Any other person can step in to de-escalate that situation. because it could just be that the customer is angry at that particular person. So maybe if you change the person, you might de-escalate the situation. Or you can change the environment. One common way is to ask the customer, okay, come out of there and then come into your office, maybe a more private place, or step out of the building, or, you know, let's end this thing and have a meeting somewhere else. Let's have lunch or something. Change the environment. So there are a couple of things you can change. You can change your tone. You can change your subject. You can change the subject. You can change the person that the customer is having this thing with, or you can change the environment. So that's the first line of approach. You can de-escalate. The second way to respond is to neutralize, right? So a couple of ways you can do that. You can postpone the issue. So if you're having a meeting with a customer and then you're having this crazy situation where the customer clearly is wrong, you can postpone and then come back at another time where everybody has calmed down. Or you can try to reconcile. So if it's a situation where things have broken down, you can try to reconcile. And in some situations, it could be that a person is being very, very unreasonable and you have to terminate the relationship. You have to cut off that customer. Sometimes it can be the safe thing for you to do. You just cut off a customer who is being toxic, who is being unreasonable, who is being insultive, abusive, or violent. You cut off that kind of person. Who is pushing the company to break the law or who has already broken the law, you cut off such a person. But there are also formal dispute channels, right? So formal dispute channels can be, you can get a mediator involved. A mediator could be a lawyer or somebody, right? Somebody who is a third party that is maybe mutually trusted by you and the customer. And that person can help to mediate and get the issue sorted, right? If a mediator fails, or a mediator is not possible, arbitration is also a formal way. So arbitration is a way that you can settle disputes without going to court. And there are several lawyers and law firms that offer that service. Even some industries have courts of arbitration where cases are resolved faster than in the normal courts. So arbitration is one option. And then, of course, if everything else fails, then, of course, you can always head to court. If you feel that clearly the customer is wrong and you are right and you have tried other ways to resolve this and it's either not possible or the customer is being unreasonable, you can always head to the courts. Yes, the courts will take longer. It will be more expensive, but it depends on what is at stake. It depends on how much money is at stake. It depends on the risks that are at stake. It depends on the potential rewards that are at stake. You may make that calculation. You may make the decision to head to court. So I've talked about several different things in this episode. So at this point, let's recap. I started this episode by talking about how customer service is getting worse with businesses in Africa, particularly with the small and mid-sized businesses, the SMEs. I talked about how you shouldn't perceive your customers. I talked about two types of customer service and how each one is different and how each one is important to your business. I talked about your employees and customer service, how you should train your employees about customer service. And then I talked about the simple rules for customer service. So at this point in the episode, let's talk about our partners, Quezza. Quezza is doing interesting things for small and mid-sized businesses on the African continent. So if you sell products and you're limited by your geography, you're limited by your home market, you're currently selling products to people within your country, your city, Quezza provides an opportunity for you to be able to explore opportunities in the export market. You can export your products to other African countries, or you can export to countries outside of Africa, particularly to Europe, to Canada, the US, and the Middle East. So there are already several merchants on Quezza that are doing business beyond their own borders, and they're reaping the benefits. So if you want to explore Quezza as a merchant, that is, you make products that would benefit from the export market, you should download the Quezza seller app. So there are two different apps. If you're a merchant and you sell products, the Quezza seller app is the one you want to download. And remember, Quezza is Kuuezza. The second thing you want to do, if you want to explore the range of products that are available on Quezza, is to download the Quezza user app. Quezza user app. So there are four things I want you to keep in mind after listening to this episode. The first is to join the Insiders program. The Insiders is a community of entrepreneurs who work directly with me. So it's like my own group coaching community. There are people in there who are trying to raise money, people who are trying to improve sales in their business, people who are trying to grow their business, people who are having hiring issues. They want to grow their business, but then they are facing talent issues. Some of them are facing leadership, right? So whatever your problems or challenges are as a business, the Insiders is a community you want to belong to, because business problems happen on a daily basis, right? There is no one course, there's no one training program, there's no one of my podcast episodes that has all the answers to your business problems, because business problems are always evolving, right? And they're always morphing. So belonging to the Insiders community is like the very best way I can help you. And to learn more about the Insiders, check us out at smallstarter.com/insiders. Again, it is smallstarter.com/insiders. The second thing is, if you listen to this podcast, you like the content, this is the time to tell your friends about the Small Starter Business Podcast. Say something about the Small Starter Business Podcast on Twitter. Post about it on Facebook. Say something about it on Instagram. Say something about it on LinkedIn. And tag me, right? So that's an interesting way for people to learn from the range of interesting business topics that we cover on this podcast. For this episode, we talked about customer service. In previous episodes, we've talked about how to grow your business. We've talked about sales. We've talked about interesting strategies for raising money for your business. We've talked about how to set up systems in your business, how to improve your operations, how to improve the profitability of your business, all kinds of interesting topics that are focused on the key challenges that entrepreneurs face. So anybody you tell about the Small Starter Business Podcast is really going to be grateful for the opportunity. And the third thing I want you to keep in mind is, if you've been listening to the podcast and you like what you hear, why not give us a five-star review? A five-star review is a very good way to give us a pat on the back if you appreciate the work that we do. We're not charging for the podcast. So if you've been listening for free, all I ask in return is you give us a five-star review if you believe that we deserve it. Right? And you can leave us a review on whatever app you're using to listen to this podcast, on the Apple podcast app, on Google Podcasts, on Stitcher, Spotify, Deezer, or wherever it is you're listening to this podcast. And then, of course, let's connect on social media. I'm very active on LinkedIn. I have almost 1 million followers on the platform. I'm also available on Twitter at @JohnPaul_Iwoha and also at @SmallStarters. So yeah, let's connect on LinkedIn, let's connect on Twitter and Facebook. We have a group. It's called the Small Starter Business Club. I think there are about 2,000 plus members there. It's a free, open, public group. You can join, and I share interesting stuff when I have them on this platform. So on to the very next episode, very important. And this is not just something you need to keep to heart. This is something you have to keep. You have to keep preaching to your employees. They need to understand the key value of a customer. The customer is your biggest investor. The customer is the biggest source of money coming into your business. The customer is the reason why your employees have a job. The customer is the reason you are able to make payroll and pay them a salary. The customer is the reason why the business exists. So you need to make sure that you thoroughly understand the value of your customers and treat them accordingly, and also help your employees to understand the value of your customer, so that we can improve the value of your customer service to such a level that it becomes a substantive competitive advantage that sets apart your business from other businesses that even sell similar things to the things that you sell. Because the thing is this, anybody can copy your price. These days, pricing is no longer a sustainable competitive advantage. Anybody can copy your price. Guess what? Anybody can copy your product. All they need to do is buy your product and reverse engineer it. Anybody can build your product and copy your product. Anybody can steal your staff. They can steal your employees. All they need to do is offer them a better salary and better working conditions, and then they can leave your company. But one thing nobody can steal from you is the culture of your organization. And customer service delightful customer service is part of a great culture where you treat your customers in such a way that they become loyal to the business, they become protective of your business, and they promote your business even when you have not asked them to. I'm hoping that is the kind of business you want to build, and that from the moment you listen to this episode, you start to take customer service much more seriously than you have always had. Until the very next episode, I wish you all the very best and look forward to sharing more amazing, interesting insights about the next business challenge I dare talk about. Take care of yourself. Cheers.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. To take our free business courses or join one of our signature programs for special entrepreneurs like you, head over to smallstarter.com to join our private community. See you inside.